I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and we'll begin reading in just a moment in Ephesians chapter 5 with verse 21. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. I probably would not get too much argument about this when I say that perhaps the most beautiful thing that we ever have the opportunity to be a part of is a wedding. To see everyone decked out in their wedding garments, to see the lovely bride come down the aisle, greeted by the groom. And what a glorious time it is when two lives come together to be one. It's beautiful. I remember when God called me to preach, and I knew the Lord wanted me to be a pastor friend, thinking He was encouraging me, said that you're going to have to deal with two things that will always be an annoyance to you. And I said, what are they? And he said, weddings and funerals. But I have found in more than 30 years in the ministry, 33 years in the ministry, that weddings and funerals have not been an annoyance to me. I've found a great joy and opportunity in trying to help people, minister to people, encourage people at those special times in their lives. We have our Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 5. We have the classic passage in the Bible on marriage. Let me read it to you, beginning with verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. What a wonderful passage on marriage. May God grant that all of us seek by His grace to live it. When you come to a wedding, there are many preliminary things that have to be cared for. And those things normally start months in advance, long time before the wedding. Lots of things. And when you come to the wedding day, no matter how much preparation has gone into it, it seems that something always goes a little off schedule or a little differently than you planned for it to go. I never dreamed when I first started out in the ministry performing wedding ceremonies that I would have so many wedding ceremonies to perform, and I'd be so involved in counseling young people, and not people who are so very young, in getting married. I won't marry them unless they will allow me to counsel with them. There are certain qualifications, I think, that are biblical, that determine whether or not I will perform a wedding ceremony. And because of necessity, I've insisted in recent years that there's only one person in our church who is the coordinator for all the church weddings, because I don't want to have something changed every time I come to a wedding ceremony. So if somebody wants me to have the wedding ceremony, I ask that they have only one particular person in our church coordinate it. And so it's always done with amazing similarity, which makes it a whole lot easier for me. And I'm sure people understand that. And when we come to the wedding, I like to be acquainted with the people who are going to take the photographs. And by now, I'm pretty well acquainted with most everyone that people have come in to take these pictures at a wedding. Occasionally, some new photographer will show up and he'll ask me what I like and what I don't like. And what I prefer and do not prefer, and what I insist that he will not do, and that type of thing. And we have our little conversation. It's always very polite. And everyone that I've ever dealt with is willing to cooperate. And we do have some strange things happen. One of the first weddings I ever conducted, it came time to kiss the bride. She had on a beautiful veil, beautiful long veil, and she had not lifted this veil. And I said, it's time to kiss the bride. Now you may kiss the bride. And the fellow got so excited that he bent down, got way down, and came back underneath her veil with her. And they were both hiding in there while he kissed her. We've had some strange things. We've had some things catch on fire in weddings. The candles caught some things on fire that weren't supposed to be burning. And we've had people faint. Some of you in this audience have fainted in some of those weddings. And I know what you're saying. If you didn't go so long, we wouldn't be standing there so long and be tempted to fall over and faint. But I want to do a thorough job of tying that knot, you know. But these pictures, once they're taken, become what we call a permanent record of that wedding day. And I want us to approach this particular passage in Ephesians chapter 5 in a little different way. I want us to consider the subject of wedding pictures. Wedding pictures. And we're going to find that these are not pictures that we might call still pictures. Photographs that are still pictures. These are living, moving pictures. But they are wedding pictures. And God paints them for us in the words of Scripture. Now, whether or not you had a photographer come on your wedding day and take beautiful pictures, and you took the pictures once they were developed and placed them in a lovely album, and now you get them out and look at the album and show people your wedding pictures, whether or not you have that, I do not know. But every one of us has this kind of wedding album. And we all have these wedding pictures. They're the pictures of our lives and the way we're living. What the world sees about our marriage. And whether or not it typifies the relationship that Jesus Christ has with His church. Wedding pictures. And as we look at these wedding pictures painted for us in biblical language, may the Spirit of God examine your heart and my heart, and if the picture is not what it ought to be, may God help us to correct the picture. Notice picture number one in this wedding album. The Bible says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is the picture of communion. The picture of communion. If you notice this picture, the bride and groom are kneeling in prayer. As you observe this picture, you see them kneeling in prayer, and they're not talking to one another. Their bodies are very still, but they're talking to God. Because the Bible says that this man and this woman have a responsibility before God to submit to one another. And to do it in the language of Scripture, the Bible says, in the fear of God. And the truth is, they cannot submit one to the other without the fear of God. What this particular word picture tells us is that if a man will fear God and humble himself before God and yield his life to God and commune with God, and if a woman will humble herself before God and commune with God and allow God to lead in her life and speak to her, if they together will commune with God, then they will be able to communicate with one another. This wedding album doesn't start with some hilarious picture with laughter and smiling. This wedding album starts with a couple on their knees praying to God. It has to be a picture of communion with God. That's a combination of two words, communion, with, the prefix means, in this case, with union. Two or more, with union, with union. Two totally separate lives, two different walks, two different ways, two different guys cast, But two must become one. And how can people sometimes so different become one? Only by the work of the marvelous grace of God as each communes with God and God brings them together. I'm going to say something to you that seems so simple, but yet I believe it is the profound truth in marriage. When a man and woman in the union of marriage are not behaving themselves as they should, the primary problem they have is not with one another, it is with God. And when they get the matter straightened out with God, as they each come into communion with God, then their communication with one another will be what God desires for it to be. The first picture in this wedding album is a picture of communion. Let's turn the page and see the second picture. The Bible says in verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." This is a picture of contentment. If you want to know what contentment is, this is a picture of contentment. It is finding, in the words of the world, the chain of command and submitting to it. It is submitting to authority. The authority in your life. Now notice as the cameraman prepares the couple for this picture, he has the man standing and the woman seated. He's standing tall. She's seated in front of him. His hands, no doubt, will be placed on her shoulders. But he's standing up and she's sitting down. Because the Bible says in this picture, in verse 22, that a wife is to submit unto her own husband as unto the Lord. She's to believe in her heart that as she yields her life and finds her place in submission to her husband, in reality, she is yielding to God's place for her. And the reason when you look at this picture you find such contentment on their faces is because there's no one in the whole wide world that has ever found contentment outside of God's will. And there's never been a happy couple. Never a happy couple. Oh, for a while. As long as they've got money and things to do, they may appear to be happy, but they've never had real contentment until he has fulfilled his place and she her place. His place is to lead, her place is to submit. That's why when you look at this Bible picture and you see him standing and her seated, when they truly realize that this is not a matter of who is more valuable, it's a place of authority, it's a place of function, it's a place of headship in the home, it's a place of God's will. And the woman has just as high and noble a position in submission as the man has in authority. Because both of them are doing exactly what God would have them do. I could illustrate that with our church staff. Do you believe for one moment that someone serving, as you may say, under me as an associate is any less a person or any more in or out of God's will than the person who's serving as the pastor? Certainly we understand, don't we, that if it's a person's responsibility before God to serve as an assistant to the pastor or an associate to the pastor or in help to the pastor, if that's God's will for that person by doing that is just as much in God's will as the man who's serving as a pastor in God's will. Let me illustrate it another way. Let's go to a higher level. Let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that there's no difference in Godhead between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But did you know when Christ was robed in flesh and humbled himself, the Bible speaks of God being head over Christ? But yet Christ is God. He took a position in bodily form, in submission. And when you look at this picture, It is a picture of contentment. This woman is gloriously content and happy in Jesus, doing what God has assigned her to do. And if she fights it and rebels against it and says, no, I'm your equal, I'm just as much boss as your boss, we're going to have two heads instead of one. Then you're going to have a freak instead of a family. May God help us. When you look in this Christian wedding album at this second picture, he's standing, she's seated, and it's a picture of contentment because they both have found their place before God. Let's turn the page and look at picture number 3. The Bible says in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, in this picture, as we arrange this picture to be taken, the man remains standing and the woman remains seated. And if you're not careful, you think we have a bad picture, but it's not a bad picture. We don't see the man's face because as we're looking, he's bending over, placing a kiss on his wife's cheek. Perhaps even a kiss on her lips. Because this is a picture of compassion. He loves her. He's expressing his love to her. He is moving toward her. He is showing his affection to her. And an amazing thing happens. She learns to show affection to him as he shows affection to her. And the more he loves her, the more she returns his love. And the kinder things he says to her, the kinder she speaks to him. The sweet nothings he whispers to her, she whispers back to him. Because God made her a helpmeet to answer back to him. Oh, he's standing, and he's the head, and she's seated. But he loves bending over, kissing her, and caressing her. And you see it often. And he's touching her. And there's something beautiful here. This is a picture of compassion. I wonder when people look at our wedding album, our living wedding album, gentlemen, do they see the compassion picture? Maybe once long ago, in a more tender moment, maybe once long ago, in a kinder, gentler era, there was compassion. But this is an unending thing. This is a living picture. It's not a photograph that stops and you never see it again. It's an unending thing. It's a picture of compassion. Let's notice as we turn the page, the fourth photograph. The Bible says in verses 25, 26, and 27, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, this picture comes in three tenses. Now, we can do this. If we're not taking still photographs, we can do this. It comes in past, present, and future tense. This is a picture of commitment. Commitment past, commitment present, commitment future. This is a picture that is unending. This is a picture that does not stop. It's a picture of how we were in the past, how we are in the present, and how we shall be in the future. It's a picture like our Lord's picture of His church. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. He suffered, bled, and died on the cross. He's committed to His church. He bled and died for our sins. He was buried and He rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. We know that He went to Calvary to redeem us with His own precious blood. Past. Verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Present. Present. He's sanctifying it and washing it with His Word in the present. It's receiving constant attention. The church, Christ is giving His church, this is a picture of Christ and His church. He's giving His church constant attention. At the very present moment, He's giving us constant attention. Future. That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The amazing thing about the future in verse 27, in this picture of commitment, the amazing thing about the future is this bride gets younger and younger. Think about that, ladies. I mean, when you get married, if you're very young and you get made up for the wedding, it doesn't take a whole lot to get things in shape. But from that day till the last, it seems that we're all spending a whole lot of time trying to keep it in that shape because of what we call deterioration. And the wrinkles come, and people get wealthy making all kinds of things with promises to get rid of them. And we make them wealthy by purchasing those things. And we do everything we can. In this life, we grow older and older and older and more wrinkled and more wrinkled. But God says there is a life where we're headed without spot and without wrinkle. Where we are young and vibrant forever with God. That's our future. And you know something? In this wedding album, in this wedding picture, as Christ is committed to His bride in the past, in the present, in the future, in our wedding album, every husband ought to be committed to his bride, not only in the past, but in the present, and committed to the future. I love my wife, and I thank God for our wonderful past. And I thank God that she's given her youth to ministering to me. Mrs. Hiles, if I could quote her, who spoke at her husband's funeral just briefly. Mrs. Jack Hiles said, "Some people live for the whole world. For others, one person is their world." And she said, "Jack Hiles was my world. My husband was my world." I was seated beside my wife, and I took her hand when she said that, because I knew that's exactly how Evelyn felt, that she's made me her world. She's devoted herself to me. And may God help me not to betray the devotion of her life. Past, present. At present, it requires attention. Sanctification, he says, and washing, water. In the future, it's getting better. I love growing old with my wife. I love it. I can't say that I love growing old, but I love growing old with my wife. I really do. I thank God for a companion that I can be with. I thank God for the precious memories of the past and for the precious presence of God in this moment. And I thank God for the beauty that we can look forward to in the future. You know what that is? That's a picture of commitment. Do people know when they look at your marriage that it pictures commitment, past, present, and future? That wedding picture says commitment. Let's turn the page. And let's look, please, at the next picture. May God help us. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And notice verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, God gives us verse 29 to help us with verse 28. Let me read it again. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Now, we understand what God is saying, but applying it becomes a little difficult. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. We have one flesh, remember. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Let's imagine that I injured my hand. As a matter of fact, I have a little place on my hand now that I'm nursing. It's a little raw place on my hand. I know it's an old age spot, and I've gotten it prematurely. And I'm nursing it on my hand. And I've tried three types of cream already. I've tried everything I know, and it seems to be getting a little better. And I keep nursing it and rubbing certain things in and working on it, trying to make it better. I'm helping it. I'm nourishing it. I'm giving attention to it. It's my body. God says that's the way we're to do our wives. You know what this is a picture of? This is a picture of concern. This photograph sends the message that we are concerned about one another. And in particular, the husband is concerned about his wife. Darling, what do you need? Is something the matter? We care for our own body. We care for our wives. We're concerned. If I let this little matter on my hand go unattended, it's only going to get worse. If you let things in the life of your wife go unattended, they're only going to get worse. That'll be a picture of concern in this wedding album. As you care for your own body, gentlemen, as a husband, you should care for your wife. Now, in this fourth picture and fifth picture, the bride and groom are seated. And they're very close to one another. They're side by side. But not as close as we see in the sixth picture. Let's turn the page and look at picture number six. The Bible says, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. That's close. Verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. And they two shall be one flesh. One flesh. The cameraman has them seated together here, but he's sort of amazed. They're so close together, he can hardly tell them apart. Because this wedding picture is a picture of cleaving. 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 Shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife? The Bible says. It's a picture of cleaving. Oh, how close they are. Oh, the parents. Oh, they're in the picture, but they're in the background. They're standing behind the bride and groom. They're not even beside them. They're not shoulder to shoulder in this picture. No, not on your life. They're in the picture, but they have to be standing behind this couple. Not beside them. Because this man must leave his father and his mother, because if there's no leaving, there can be no cleaving. There's a picture of cleaving. He's cleaving to her. He's cleaving to her. You know what this reminds us of, don't you? It reminds us of another who left his father and cleaved to us. Our dear Savior. And that's what this is a picture of. A man devoted, given to, cleaving to his wife, and they to one another. And they're seated there together. But they're so close. It's almost embarrassing to people who would know them. They're so close to one another. After a while, in this living picture, after a while, they may even begin to look alike, smile alike, talk alike, use the same expressions. As a matter of fact, they ought to be communicating more at times But you can even anticipate what they're going to do because they know one another so well. It's amazing. They're cleaving together, forsaking all others, so long as we both shall live. But let's come to picture 7 in our wedding album. And someone says, I'd like to get a good look at them. I want to see what they really look like. They're still seated. And in verses 32 and 33, the Bible says this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let me read it again. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Look at his expression. Look at the expression on his face as he looks at his wife. Look at his expression. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Look at her expression. There is a glow on their face that is unbelievable because this is a picture of countenance. Their countenance. Their countenance. She has never looked at another like she's looking at him, and he has never looked at another like he looks at her. But that's not all the story. It is not just that he loves her and she reverences and loves him. That's not all the story. There is something of another world on their faces. Wait a minute. There is something that is of another world. It is not of this world. There is something that is not of this world on their countenance. You look at them. There's a brightness. There's a glow. There is a beauty. It started in that first picture in communion as they were kneeling. And now you see it on their faces. It is a likeness to someone. It's a likeness to Christ. That's right. It's Christ's likeness. You know there's something special about this couple. Because of their countenance. They've got Jesus on their faces. What a beautiful picture. Oh, the world may not say that she is naturally the most attractive or he the most handsome. But there's something so beautiful that is not of this world. It's the countenance of Christ on their faces. The 90th Psalm, the last verse, declares, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. It's the beauty of the Lord. In this wedding picture, there is a heavenly countenance on them. And by the way, the longer they live, the brighter it gets. There's something special about them. Their faces do not grow old and contorted. Though their faces be wrinkled and their hair may turn gray, they grow more beautiful with every passing day. They're even fun to be around. They're full of joy and full of life. On the outside, you may think along with the rest of the world, they're growing older. But on the inside, they seem to be getting younger and younger and younger. Like a child leaping off to an excited appointment with another child. They're going down the road of life with such joy in their hearts toward heaven to see God that they're growing younger and younger in their spirit day by day. And the countenance of Christ is radiating through them. And is beautifully beheld on their faces. What a picture. What a picture. What a picture. While we were in Hammond, Indiana at Dr. Howell's funeral, I said to Evelyn, let's go by and see Mrs. McKinney. She's Dr. Howell's secretary. And she has served there faithfully for all these years. She's 74 years old now. And we walked down the hallway. Her son escorted us. I said, Keith, I'd like to see your mother. Just to tell her how much we appreciate her faithfulness to God and faithful service to this man of God. And he led us down the hallway. And we opened the office door. She greeted us like a young schoolgirl. She looked like an angel. Beautiful silver hair, bright, glowing countenance. 74 years old. As a matter of fact, she just was so beautiful, I said to her, may we have our picture made with you? And she, with a blush, said, well, certainly, you'd like to. And we stood in front of Dr. Howell's office door and had our picture made with Ms. McKinney. And when we'd finished and we were walking back down the hallway, I said to my wife, isn't she absolutely beautiful? Isn't she absolutely beautiful? Do you know that's the way God wants His children to be? To keep growing and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and being absolutely beautiful for Jesus. These are wedding pictures. As you look at your own album, take it out and turn to the pages. Do you see in your wedding pictures the picture of communion? Look, please. The picture of contentment. The picture of compassion. They're from their knees now. He's standing behind her. She's seated. Do you see that compassion? They're seated side by side. Do you see that picture of commitment? They're still seated side by side. Do you see him so concerned? He's fixing something or giving some attention to something about her, helping her with something. He's concerned. You see them seated so close that it looks like one person seated there instead of two. They're cleaving. And before you close the book, do you see that last picture? Take a good look at their countenance. It's a picture of their countenance. You see Jesus in their faces. Dear ones, that's the kind of married life and the kind of image God expects us to give to this lost and dying world. Let's bow in prayer together, may we?